Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Again, we're talking about sacred purpose trusts and the kingdom of God and how they work and how they don't work and how people have strayed out of the ways of God and gone whoring after the ways of Satan. What a delightful subject to talk about. And it has such a profound effect. Everybody thinks that they're going to solve the problems of the world and do this, that, or the other thing that's going to make everything right. And, you know, elect this guy or whatever. And, of course, you know, one of the first elections we see in some kind of detail. One of the things that we see in is this idea of government of God and the government of the people for the people and by the people and the governments of the world. We see this in Cain. And we see this in Lamech and Nimrod, but we don't have much detail. But the first election that we have in detail is in Israel when they decide they want to have a king, the voice of the people, they say. And we hear that phrase in relationship to governments. The voice of the people have spoken. They want somebody who can exercise authority, the commander-in-chief, the emperor of the world, or whatever. And that was called a rejection of God. And so, if anything, that would be where repentance begins, is that we repent of that rejection of God and try to return to our Father's house. So we need to know what the Father's house looks like and what it doesn't look like. And we've just been talking in the previous session, which I think is like 21, we're now in 22, that it doesn't look like people coveting one another's goods. That will connect you to the quantum relationship with hell itself, with the gates of hell. You're putting the key in to the door of hell when you are covetous. And it will suck you in to the dark side and devour you. And why shouldn't it? You have chosen to devour your neighbor through covetousness. And that's why you are made merchandise. You have created institutions with your own hands that are based on taking away by force from your neighbor, who also has been a part of that creation, who signed up. So it's not stealing. It's simply coveting one another's goods through the agency of men who exercise authority. And you do this by manumitting your natural father, which is where the kingdom of God is generation to generation, from family to family. You manumit yourself from that family, and you join the family of the state, where now the state is your father, parens patria, which it says in the U.S. Codes, I think Title 8, Section 15. And you are registered as a child of the state, and the state will take care of you. Your parents die, the state will be there. Not your family, the state will be there. Because that is your family, that is your father. And Jesus says, call no man father upon the earth, but you do. That's what you do. Because the system of the world is operating in debt, the only way to provide the benefits of that earthly father is to take from the children of that father and the children's children of that father, your neighbor's children, by putting them more and more in debt. It isn't the fiscal irresponsibility of Congress that you need to be concerned about. It's your personal fiscal responsibility, irresponsibility. Because if you were really responsible, you would be investing in the kingdom of God. You'd be finding people that want to live by faith, hope, and charity, not by people who want to rule over you, vote and elect somebody to rule over you or to do it the right way, because all those systems are based on vesting power in the hands of a few. And the Saul syndrome always kicks in. The Saul syndrome is that power corrupts. The more you give them power, the more you corrupt them. You have tempted the governments of the world to become tyrants by your applications, by your surety, by your apathy. You have to stop being apathetic. You have to stop being slothful and start being righteous. You have to start taking care of one. You can start small, but you have to start being a doer of the word. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices and cursed their children. That's New Testament. How did you curse your children? Covetous practices. Exercising authority. Coveting your neighbor's goods. You want public schools. You want public health. That's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. That's the way you do it. That's not the way Christ does it. You're not doing things the way Christ said to do them. You're doing the things the way you do them. And you think you have the knowledge to make that decision. You're eating of the tree of knowledge. Zechariah 11:9. Then said I will not feed you. I will not feed you that dieth. Let it die. And that is to be cut off. Let it be cut off. And let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. That's what you're doing. You not only eat the flesh of your neighbor, you eat meat with blood in it. You see, when you give men the exercising authority to take away from your neighbor, to provide you with your daily bread or your meat, they will often assert that authority and take meat with blood in it. And blood is the seed of the soul. They will take unrighteously from even its own members. And then you consume that benefit. You eat meat with blood in it. What is given on the altars of God, the blood is drained out and it is freely given. That is the righteous mammon. These are systems. They're describing systems. The piles of stones is a pile of friends, men you trust. Look out amongst yourselves and find men you trust. And they will be appointed over the business of health, education, and welfare. And they will be supported by free will offerings, which you can call tithes. But they are there to provide you with the benefits of society by not exercising authority one over the other. If you are not doing that, if you refuse to do that, if you will not strive to do that, you will not be free. And if you think you're free, you will not survive freedom. And Satan will contend for your soul, and no one will come to your aid. For you have not been a worker of righteousness. You have been a worker of self-righteousness, maybe. Self-professing yourself to be saved and all this stuff, but not doing the simple things that Christ did. When he was hungry and they gave him food, he gave it away to others. Micah 3:2, who hate the good and love the evil. Yeah, you tell people this that I'm telling them in these recordings and radio shows, they will hate you. They love their benefits. They love their public education. They love their health care, their welfare, their social welfare. They will hate you, pointing it out that that is connecting them to the realms of hell, a quantum interaction with the ways of hell, because the ideas in your mind are coming from hell, not from heaven. Because heaven says you should do this not by force, but by free will offerings. And you show me how you can do this without gathering together, organizing yourselves. You see, people are so much against organization. Oh, the church is not. As soon as you get an organized church, you get corruption. soon as you get an organized church from the top down, you get corruption. But a church organized from the bottom up by righteous men cannot be corrupted. And the thing is, you'll see men creeping in with that spirit into congregations of congregations. And it is up to the ministers of every congregation to say, hey, I cannot have anything to do with that spirit. He wants to be captain over the people, to rule over the people, to make them sit and listen to him, to do things his way. He is writing doctrines and dogmas and telling people they have to believe the way he believes. But is he doing what Christ said to do? Is he bearing the fruit of Christ? Is he sacrificing himself, or is he sacrificing others for himself? The elders are the most important part of the church, because each of us is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Each of us may have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there are 10 elders and 10 families within a single congregation, and only one minister. Does that minister's, even though he may have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is it 10 times what the elders have in them? I doubt it. They bring the Holy Spirit into that free assembly more than the minister. They should rebuke the minister if they see him doing wrong. What happens is that the people are looking for Sauls. They're looking for it in their Capitol buildings. They're looking for it in their doctor's offices. They're looking for it in their churches. We want him to be our minister. He goes and takes care of everything for us. And they corrupt the souls of this world. This is why you have pastors and priests molesting children for years and nobody catches them. Because the elders are not elders of families. They are the voice of the people that rejected God and give power to other men to do what they need to be responsible for. When you elect a minister to be your minister, you are electing a servant, not a captain. You are electing a minister, a servant, not a ruler. The responsibility is still in your hands to make these decisions. So what did it say in Micah 3:2? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off of them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have believed themselves ill in their doings. God's not going to even hear you as you pray to this system that is based in covetousness and exercising authorities. You're not to tear down that system. It is actually serving God. It is punishing the wicked who have created it. That Fedzilla, that person was calling the Fedzilla. It is the beast, created by people who have the heart of the beast in them, who covet their neighbor's goods. And it will plague out their heart, and it should. You have to repent and create a quantum spiritual connection with the kingdom of heaven by drawing near through sacrifice. You have to start giving locally to ministers who you can keep an eye on to see that they take care of one another and serve Christ by conforming to his ways in love. Ezekiel 11:9, which say, it is not near, let us build houses, this city is the cauldron. It is not near. Remember, draw near sacrifice. Let us build instead of houses. This city is the cauldron. this one purse, cauldron, this social estate, and we be the flesh in that cauldron. Goes on later to say, ye have multiplied your slain in this city, this cauldron. Ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, your slain whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh of this city. And the city is the cauldron. But I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. But you have to repent. He will be your salvation, but you have to repent. You have to change your ways. You have to start taking care of one another, not through the social estate, but through the free assemblies of righteousness, the kingdom of God, not forsaking the gathering together. Ezekiel 11:9, a few verses later. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof and deliver you into the hands of strangers and will execute judgment amongst you, because you have said, let's have one purse, let's form this city, this cauldron. And by verse 11 it says, this city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the borders of Israel. Israel, the place where God prevails. Does God prevail in your heart? Are you taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty? Now, we can show you how this legally pans out. I'm talking about principles and precepts. The Bible is. But the Bible is about government. How does that interpret into an actual organized social structure based on the perfect law of liberty and faith, hope, and charity? Because that's an institution. It's just based, you think that, because everywhere you look, all the institutions are based on exercising authority one over the other. You think organization is bad because all the organizations you see are that way. But isn't the fault of being organized? It's the fault of the exercising authority. That is the element that you have to remove. You still need to exercise authority over your choices. So the kingdom of God is always empowering the individual to exercise authority over himself in the fulfillment of his duty to God and his fellow man in pure religion. That is what the kingdom of God will always be doing. And once you understand that principle, how does that pan out into the reality of our time? Because most of it is done through the elder, the heads of families. That's why family is God's institution. God doesn't want you to be celibate. That's not what Paul was talking about. Paul even says, you know, for the young woman who is a widow, she should remarry. Because that is the natural creation of God. It's not a bad thing. You know, I once was talking about the fact that many theologians think that Christ was actually married. Oh, that's terrible. Everybody goes panicky. But, you know, it was commonly accepted amongst early writers that Christ was married. You can find many of the early writers talking about that. They don't tell you who all the wives of all the apostles are, but we know the apostles were mostly married. Even to call somebody rabbi, a rabbi had to be married in those days. It's part of the deal. It's society. Now, I'm not saying he was or wasn't. I'm just saying what the record shows. But we had this idea that he wasn't somebody. But anyway, just talking about it, I'm not passing out doctrines or telling you have to believe this or that or the other thing. And just look at the figures. Look at the words that are there. It's kind of interesting because we have a lot of preconceived notions based on our modern perception of religion, which is why we're back into bondage and entangled again in the elements of the world. So if they're wrong about so many obvious things about exercising authority one over the other and who is your benefactor and what coveting is and what it does, can they be wrong about some of the other things? Absolutely, they could be. But it's not tantamount to faith. But when I mention that many theologians thought this. I'm not saying one way or the other. I couldn't tell you. They said, well, he couldn't have been married because Jesus never sinned. Now, this is someone who's been married a bunch of times. He's like the woman at the well kind of thing. She has no husband because she's had many husbands. She doesn't know yet what a husband is. And she may be learning it now. I don't know, but that's irrelevant to the point. But she said he never married because he never sinned. When did matrimony, marriage, the union of man and wife become sin? Why in her brain was she connecting that he couldn't have married because he never sinned? You know, our thinking has been so distorted that I come along and try to preach the gospel of the kingdom and what Christ was really doing and what he was really saying, what the early church was really doing. And they don't even understand simple words like father and covet and idols and congregations. They don't understand it. Israel means the place where God prevailed. In the border of Israel, it's not talking about geographical location. He's talking about within the parameters of righteousness. For those who God prevails in their heart and they are manifesting the fruit of his presence in them. But when you see covetousness and lasciviousness and all these false accusings and everything coming out of the person, you pretty much know that these fruits are not produced of Christ and Christ is not in them. But yet they will swear they have accepted Jesus Christ. Cannot be so. Does not compute. It is not the reality. Ezekiel 11:9, and I will bring you out of the midst thereof and deliver you into the hands of strangers and will execute judgment amongst you. And there that government will serve God. Because it is punishing the wicked. And that's where you're at today. But if you repent, we can go the other way. Luke 20:47 says, which devour widows' houses and for the show amongst long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. So these churches with their long prayers and their singing and their rituals, if they are sending you to take the benefits of those men who exercise authority, then they are sending you to devour widows' houses and devour the unborn. The modern atrocity of abortion everywhere on demand is a byproduct of the fact that we've been opening the doors of hell with the keys to hell for more than a generation in this world. That's why you have so many people who just cannot even see reasonableness. You say, like, how can the people think this way? Because they do not have the mind of Christ and Christ cannot enter into them. And they are living and eating of the tree of knowledge, and the adversary of righteousness is controlling what they eat and see and think. They are possessed of evil because they have a quantum relation, a spiritual relationship with the ways of evil. Many claim to be Christian, followers of Christ, but take that name in vain because they are actually not doing the will of Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:1, we see, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You wonder where homosexuality comes in? This is where it comes from. Lovers of their own selves. How many, you know, I'm not going to pick on bodybuilders, but how many gay bodybuilders are out there looking upon their own reflection? I mean, there's a lot of things that lead you to that. Covetousness will lead you to that. And that's the second thing in the list under 2 Timothy 3:1. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, headily, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. They want those benefits. But they will have a form of godliness. They will have their churches. They will sing. They will wear their clothes. But denying the power thereof from such, turn away. What power? The power you could do. You could take care of the social welfare of the society in which you live without force. Now, only the virtuous can do that. The others are going to continue in the way that they're going. But God will not hear their cries in those days. 1 Samuel 8:18, Isaiah 1:15, Jeremiah 22:21. Go read them. And you will hear that God will not hear you in those days, in your days of calamity. We'll be back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, who are you going to call? The Ghostbusters? Who are you going to call? Christ? God? The Father? Is he going to hear you when you call? Is he going to come to you when you have a need? You tell me. Because from what I read in the scriptures, for most of you, he will not hear you. He will not come. He will not come when you cry out. You haven't done what he has said to do. You have done something else completely different. And you will smart for it. And there's nothing I can do about it except for preach the gospel of the kingdom. 1 Samuel 8:18, when the voice of the people cried out and wanted somebody to rule over them, whether it be a pastor or a priest or a potentate, they want somebody else to take the responsibility of doing what they should be doing together as an organized body of free souls under God, the kingdom of God. He says in that verse 18, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, your ruler, your whether doctor or what. I just saw an article come out the other day by the AMA that talking about thousands and thousands of people who have been treated for cancers they didn't have. And because evidently tests that they made were coming back positive, and that wasn't the case. They didn't have cancer. So they underwent chemotherapy for no reason whatsoever. I can't tell you how many people I know who have died from the treatment of cancer before they would have died from the cancer. It's what you're actually seeing is the Inquisition. You know, like I was telling you earlier, this quantum connection, that there's two realms here, heaven and hell, and they're overlapping us. And if you pull back the veil, you can see hell. And if you pull back the other veil, you can see heaven. Of course, you don't have the power to pull back those veils. But they're right here. They are parallel dimensions in where we live. And you're either creating connections to one or the other, and you're doing that by your day-to-day choices. So when you decide to have a king, you're rejecting the kingdom of heaven, the king of the world. Of, you're rejecting God, and you're saying, no, we will create our own king. You're rebelling. That was a rebellious act, the voice of the people electing a king. And he said, this is what's going to result of this. And I'll tell you that when you elect to make your pastor king, when you elect to make your doctor king, when you elect to make your lawyer king, when you elect to make your politician king, you're in rebellion to God. You're in conformity to Satan. And you create a connection to his realm because you're doing things his way. You're following his way, not Christ's way. His way, evil's way, Satan's way. You are the synagogue, the congregation of Satan. And you are creating a connection. Well, the more you create that connection, the less God will hear you. And ye shall cry out in that day of the king which ye have chosen you, king, pastor, priest. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Isaiah 1:15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You eat meat with blood in it. I'm not quoting here, but that I'm quoting other places. But the reality is that's what you're doing. You're devouring one another. You're taking a bite out of one another. You're taking a bite out of the unborn. The abortions in this country are a symptom of a spiritual connection to hell. You say, well, if we stop the abortions, it would be good. No, you must break the bonds of the spirit that would produce such a reality in the world today. You don't have to outlaw abortion in your statutes. You have to outlaw the spirit of abortion in your heart by repenting and sacrificing and returning to the ways of Christ, of giving and forgiving. You have to do that. That will make the difference, because that will draw you near to the altars of Christ. And He will make the difference. He will change. You can't with your own work, but you can, in a sense, make a difference by the direction you're going in. And right now you're going in the wrong direction, most of you. Jeremiah 22:21. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth. You know, just like he said up in Samuel, as you done from the beginning, since I took you out of Egypt. And thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastures, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. Because you've been running towards wickedness with your common purse. Micah 3:3. Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot, the cauldron, and as the flesh within that cauldron. Then they shall cry unto the Lord, he goes on to say, but he will not hear them. Hello. Over and over again, he is telling you he will not hear you. So how do you get him to hear you? Repent and head back to be a servant in your Father's house. We must repent. That's why he says in Luke 6:35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. When you have to pay your taxes, you're just lending. You're just giving, expecting nothing in return. But at night and in your spare time, you need to be seeking the kingdom, because the system of unrighteous mammon, what makes it unrighteous? They're both trusts. Righteous mammon, unrighteous mammon, both trusts. But the unrighteous mammon operates by force, like John the Baptist was preaching against. He was saying to do it by charity. That's the righteous mammon. That's the difference. You take care of the needy of your society by force in the kingdom of God. They take care of the needy by love. So you tell me that you're seeking the kingdom of God, but you're also seeking the benefits of the world? Nah. You got to turn around and start heading back. So anyway, hoping for nothing again. That's why you give. You know, well, actually, there is a hope there. But you freely give with nothing but hope that it may come back to you. You don't demand. There's no entitlement. And your reward shall be great, he says. And ye shall be the children of the highest. These are the little ones. For he is, and if you're not doing it that way, then you are not the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Why? That's strange. We could go into that in greater detail, but let's go on to Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not coming in 2,000 years, it's at hand. It's within your reach. Just like in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, this righteous mammon, and all these things shall be added unto you. So now, you say, I just have to believe. But see, like I've pointed out before, that they've changed this word belief into what you think, when belief was a conviction to do things a particular way. you think you can save yourself by your own thoughts. Simply not the way it works. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And the will of the Father is to love one another as he has loved you. Matthew 7:24, a few verses later. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. So there you have it, folks. What's so hard to understand? If you're not a doer of the word, and that was, what were the Christians doing? They were taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. They were establishing sacred purpose trusts through testimony. When land was taken away from the church and all the people were killed and burned at the stake, they actually went to the courts of the world and said, you have, because now you remember they're a foreign religion. Christianity was a foreign religion. So they brought this into court as a foreign government, saying we have another king. They said, you have taken what is ours. So they went into their court. Not to be administrative courts. We're talking actual law courts. That's one of the jobs of Paul. And that's why God needed a lawyer. Had to need a lawyer who repented. But that's why God enlisted Paul to take his case. And we can go into exactly what was going on in the courts of Rome at that time. While that case was pending, there wasn't a judge hardly anywhere who would decide against a Christian for being a Christian because they did not want to be overturned. So as long as Paul was prisoner with his case to appear before Caesar, Christianity was allowed to continue to spread and prosper. But of course that came to an end eventually, and then there was a great persecution, and then that backed off for a while, and then there came a new one, and this went on. But even before Constantine, they were taking cases into court saying, you have church property that you have confiscated and it belongs to the church. You must give it back. And they were winning the cases. There were royal proclamations, imperial proclamations coming to return property to the church before Constantine. Yet we somehow or other are told, although it's actually true, but we don't understand the terms, that Constantine legalized the church. Did you know the word legal comes from the word to bind? Yes, Constantine was binding the church. How did he do it? But he called this meeting, and 319 bishops showed up out of, there were actually thousands of bishops at that time, but only 319 showed up. There were 1,200 known bishops at that time. These aren't offices of exercising authority, but they were servants of servants of servants. And only 319 showed up, and there was less than 300 there by the end of the meeting. But then Constantine, this is where he really got his power. All those who would become Christians, he gave them millions upon millions of dollars worth of benefits. Property, gold, silver, precious stones. He gave it to the church, to his church, to Constantine's church. Most Christians would have nothing to do with it because he would be a benefactor who exercised authority. He had all that to give because he took it away from others. They wouldn't accept any of that. But many did. Well, not many. Many people did. Not many Christians did. But, the very next meeting, only 150 people showed up. But they were rich people because Constantine had enriched them. But even like I said, even before Constantine, the church was getting property back because they were organized. Not from the top down, but from the bottom up. Big difference. As soon as you start doing that spirit of you take over, you do it, I'll just go watch the game, you're headed to hell. Because you're not a doer. You're saying, you do it for me, I'm just going to go over here and sit down and rest and take a nap. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in his glory and the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works, according to what you're doing. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You read Matthew 6:2-3 and Matthew 8:9 and Matthew 18:23 and Matthew 19:16-21 and this goes on and on and on. Or Mark 3:35 or all these verses have to do with being a doer of the word. And if you do it the way John the Baptist, you will make the word of God to effect. If you do it the way of Herod the Great and most modern Christians, you will make the word of God to none effect. And you have needs of repentance. Luke 6:31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So do you think it's okay to take from your neighbor for your benefit? Then I guess it's okay for your neighbor to take from you for what he thinks will benefit him. As you do, so shall it be done unto you. Count on it. Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So why are you calling yourself a Christian? Why are you saying that Christ is your king when you're not doing things that he says? That you're not taking care of one another through pure religion, through faith, hope, and charity. You're doing it through men who call themselves benefactors. Yet you call yourself a Christian. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like unto a man that has built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And then the floods came. You know, hard times. Streams bear vehemently upon the house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon the rock, that rock of faith. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in the straight gates. For many, I say, many, he says, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Sounds like you don't just have to knock. He's saying strive. Sounds like that you knock and the door shall be open, but that doesn't mean you're going to enter. You have to strive to enter. And what we're doing is showing you how to enter. So how do you form a congregation of record, this sacred purpose, trust, this? How do you give a gift to Christ, and what does he need? He needs you to care about others as much as you care about yourself. He needs that. Or he cannot hear you. He cannot even hear your prayers. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light. That's why so many people have a hard time understanding what I'm talking about. Because they hateth the light. I'm telling you what the light is. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 5:20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. He doesn't hear them. And coveting is a sin. But if any man be a worshiper of God, worship God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. So if you're not doing the will of the Father, he's not going to hear you. Your prayers, now Satan may hear you. I mean, you're closer to his ways than you are to Christ. So yeah, he might hear you, and he may even grant you your prayers to keep you under the strong delusion. But it is a delusion. John 13:15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And what did he do? He came to be a servant. Ephesians 6:8. Knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So this is important to understand that. This bond or free. You can still receive if you do things according to the ways of the Lord, according to the ways of God. Colossians 3:25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. For God is no respecter of persons. So, if you're coveting your neighbor's goods, if you're asking others to take away from your neighbor, if you're asking others to exercise authority and force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, hey, you're doing wrong. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word. Doers, I mean, how many times does he say it? But they say, oh, you don't have to do anything. No, what you do does not earn you, but it draws you near. God still has that choice. You cannot do enough. But if you're not a doer of the word, if anybody's telling you you don't have to do anything, just think a thought, that's born in hell. You have to really repent. You have to change inside. And when you do, being a doer is not going to be hard. You're going to have to be a doer. You cannot stop yourself from being a doer. Because it's a conviction, it's a faith, it's a belief, it's a probity. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. God is no respecter of person. And then you can read in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So you can actually sin by not doing. So you say, well, I'm coming out of the kingdoms of the world, I'm going to do this. But you're not taking care of one another in faith, hope, and charity, you're a sinner. And you can't do that well unless you have the union and discipline of the early church and you come together in free assemblies, bound by love for one another and love of Christ. And until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.